This is Communion Sunday. It's World Communion Sunday. And as such, I was going to start a series on truth, beginning with John chapter 18, where Pilate stood before Jesus and Jesus declared who he was. And Pilate responded by saying, "What is truth?" And so we're going to continue that theme, but this morning's theme is more along the line of God's truth and God's realities. Because God has truths that we cannot begin to comprehend, but he has given us little illustrations of things that go on in heaven. I call them the truth of heaven's realities, that there are things taking place in heaven that we have no knowledge of other than Scripture. But God has given us some traditions, he's given us some illustrations, and he's given us some feasts of Israel to help us understand the things that are given to us of God. Now, I'm going to be blowing a trumpet here in just a little bit, so I don't want that to frighten you. If you have hearing aids and that's going to blow your ears right out, you might consider covering your ears, removing your hearing aids, or just suck it up. Because this is part of the tradition in Israel. There are seven festivals that took place in Israel. The spring festivals surround Passover, which is what we consider our Easter celebration. And remember that. We celebrated the Lord's table this spring and the Seder that was presented to us and the Passover. Remember, that celebrates the Exodus. And as the people were ready to leave Egypt, God said that they were to take a lamb for each family, and that lamb was to be slaughtered. And then the blood was to be taken and put on the lintel and the doorpost of their home. And God promised, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And that's why we get the name Passover. God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Those early spring festivals surrounding Passover remind us of Christ coming the first time to offer himself as a sacrifice for sin. But then we go through the summer and we come to the fall festivals, which are very important for us to understand, because right now we are in a time called Rosh Hashanah in the Hebrew calendar. That is a celebration of three different feasts that I want to share with you this morning, and all of those have to do with the trumpets. Now, I brought a couple trumpets because the trumpets in Scripture, if we're talking about the temple and Solomon's temple, they blew trumpets and they were silver trumpets that were straight. But most of the time when God speaks of trumpets in the Bible, he's talking about a shofar, a ram's horn that is blown to warn the people, to remind the people, and to call the people together that God's going to do something special. Most of us don't realize that at Passover, when Jesus died on the cross, there were some things that were taking place in heaven and on earth. And the shofar was an important part of that. We don't read about that because we don't know the traditions. But when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he hung on the cross from 12 o'clock until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At exactly 3 o'clock in the afternoon, darkness came over the whole earth, and it was very dark. And then there was all of the other spectacular things that were going on. Who can remind me what was going on when Jesus hung on the cross? There was darkness. What else?
Earthquakes.
What?
Earthquakes.
Earthquakes, yes. And some people came out of tombs at that time. But there was one more important event that took place when Jesus hung on the cross at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What was it? I know you know it. The veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. It was a 60-foot curtain that was 3 to 4 inches thick, and it was ripped from heaven above down to earth. But what we don't see in Scripture was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the last sacrifice of Passover was being celebrated, and the priest went to the top of the temple with a shofar much bigger than this one, and he blew that shofar so everyone could hear that the sacrifice is being offered. That's an amazing thing, that the moment that Jesus said, "It is finished," the shofar was blown. Here goes. I can't always guarantee it comes out right, so I'm going to try. That was a squeaky cow, sorry. You think that's long? I heard a priest on a video that did a minute and 15 seconds without taking a break. And that's what the priest was trained to do, to blow the shofar, because the shofar was God saying, "Hello, look up! Your redemption draws near. Look up! Something in heaven has taken place for you." Now that took place on Passover. As we come to the fall festivals, there is right now going on the Festival of Trumpets. The Festival of Trumpets. And most of us don't know much about that, so I wanted to give you some information that helps you to understand what was going on at the celebrations and what's going on today at these celebrations. The Feast of Trumpets was to be a 10-day celebration, or actually it was a solemn assembly in which the people gathered together to repent of their sins and prepare themselves for the next festival, which is a 2-day festival of the Day of Atonement. But what's significant about the Feast of Trumpets is it began with trumpets blowing, it ends with trumpets blowing, and then every day throughout those 10 days, 100 times a day, the priests blow the shofar. Shall I do that 100 times? I can't. Don't have enough wind left. There's a small one I used, and that's a little bit better. Yeah, right. But you can imagine how important it was that the trumpets were being blown. Now, we need to understand that when the trumpets were blown on earth, there was something happening in heaven that God was saying, pay attention. God's people need to repent. God's people need to get ready for the coming of the Lord, because the Passover spoke of the first coming of the Lord, when he came to be the Savior and offer his life as a sacrifice for sin. The Lamb of God was slain. And now the Fall Festival speaks of the second coming of Christ, which is not a coming for him to offer himself as a sacrifice. That's already done. It's the coming where he comes to take his saints back home to heaven. And so he says there's three things. There's that 10-day festival of trumpets in which the people of God are to be very serious and examining their hearts and cleansing themselves from sin. They actually begin it similar to they do with the Passover. They sweep through their house and bring out crumbs, and they take those crumbs to the river and drop them in the river. Those crumbs represent the pollutions that's in their life, the sins that's accumulated, and they lay them down before the Lord. And then we come to the Day of Atonement. This is an important one. I could spend the whole hour on the Day of Atonement. It was only one day during the year where the high priest could go into the temple, and not just into the holy place, but beyond the holy place, into the Holy of Holies. Now, we said in Jerusalem when Jesus died on the cross, the temple, the curtain was ripped from top to bottom. But in the traditions, they built that back up, and they continued to do that while they had sacrifices. So the priest could go in once a year, and to go in, he had to purify himself. So a bull was offered for the sacrifice of all the priests who had to do all of the ceremonies. But for the high priest, he had to bathe every day, 5 times a day. And 5 times a day, he had to change his garments so that he could go in. And on that great Day of Atonement, he would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would take the blood of a goat, and he would sprinkle it upon the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. He would actually do it with, he would have blood on his thumb, and he would sprinkle it once, and then he would go seven times, he would take the blood and sprinkle it. Now, for those of you that are communion people, I was thinking of dipping my finger in one of the juice bins here, one of the cups, and just sprinkling it on your white tablecloth. Well, that's similar to what the priest would do. But he was doing what God commanded, that there would be a sacrifice and a covering for the sins of the people. Now, as we think of the second coming of the Lord is giving a trumpet call for his people. Jesus called this the midnight cry. He said there will go a cry out at midnight telling everyone to get ready, for the king is coming. But many will continue to do whatever they've done before, and they will not get themselves ready. So God has ordained that this Day of Atonement should illustrate that God is blowing a trumpet, saying, guys, we need to get ready for the coming of the Lord. We as God's people, yes, we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Yes, we're saved by the blood of Jesus, but we get junk in our lives. We get sin that accumulates. And God says, I want you to be ready for the hour when you think not the Son of Man is coming. That's why the trumpet is blown. And on the Day of Atonement, that trumpet is blown again. And you can read about it in the scriptures that I've given you. In Leviticus, it gives great instructions on this, that the trumpet is to be blown by the priest early in the morning, and he blows the trumpet on the Day of Atonement to remind people to come to the temple to have your sins forgiven. Now, it's much longer than that. Actually, He had a formula that he was to follow. Once is the long blow, and then there are three shorter ones. And then there are nine staccato trumpet sounds. I will not do it for you because I'll mess it up. And then they're finalized by the last one that's blown. And that's to be done with one breath all the way through. It takes about a minute and 15 seconds. And the priest is calling people to repentance and the Day of Atonement. When he goes in before the Ark of the Covenant and offers the sacrifice for people, the goat was sacrificed to offer the blood. But there was another identical goat that was placed in the temple, and it looked just like the first one. But this one was chosen by lots, and they wrapped a scarlet cord around its horns. And after the sacrifice was given, the priest is to come out, and he's to lay hands on that goat and confess the sins of the people, transferring the sins of the people to that goat. And that goat is to be led 10 miles out into the wilderness and let go. That's called the scapegoat. And it illustrates what Jesus did for us. He not only bore our sins on the cross, but he bears them away. And the people, as they offer the sacrifice, they say he buries them in the depths of the sea. He takes them as far as the east is from the west. That's how far he takes our sins from us. And finally, there is a third festival that's celebrated, and that is after the Feast of Atonement, which is 2 days long, the Feast of Tabernacles takes place. And the Feast of Tabernacles has much to do with this because it's called, literally called, the Feast of Ingathering. It is the celebration that begins with the trumpet sounding, and the people are to celebrate because they are coming from all over Israel to Jerusalem, their home place, and they are to build booths and stay in booths. It's the ingathering celebration of the last harvest is being brought together. And God is blowing the trumpet and he's saying, the harvest has come and now come and celebrate. Can you get the connection to today? When Jesus comes again, he will appear from heaven and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, the dead in Christ will rise and we which are alive will be caught up together in the air to meet the Lord and be with him forever. That's the ingathering. All of these traditions, all of these trumpets are telling the church, he's coming again. Get yourselves ready. Prepare for the coming of the Lord. Yet in Matthew 24, Jesus said, many in that day will not get ready. But when the Lord comes, one will be taken, another is left. One is out in the field, he'll be taken, but his partner won't go. Two will be sleeping in the bed, speaking of husband and wife. One will be taken, the other left. Why? Because they were not ready. They did not prepare themselves for the coming of the king. See, this illustration of the Feast of Tabernacles is the Lord saying, I'm building a house for you. Jesus said it in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, if you look to your NIV, it changed that to rooms. I feel sad about that because I don't just want an apartment house. I want a mansion in heaven, so I'm going to keep it as mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So this Feast of Tabernacles reminds us that when that last trumpet blows, it is the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Let me read you two scripture passages that remind us of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Isn't that great? We will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And there are many other passages. I've included some of them into your insert this morning so that you can read those things and rejoice that the trumpet is about to sound. Did you know we're living in the last days? The Lord has already given the midnight cry. He's calling America to repentance. He's calling his church to repentance. He's calling all of us to turn from our wicked ways and return to the Lord and to do those things he commanded. And then that Day of Atonement is like the Lord's Supper, where we come and once again we're reminded that Jesus paid it all. We don't need to pay anything to be forgiven. We just need to come. We need to ask for His forgiveness, and He will forgive us. The table of the Lord reminds us of what Jesus did in Passover, but it also reminds us that Jesus said to His disciples, He said, "This, I will not drink of this cup again here on earth, but I'll drink it in heaven." And then Paul said, Jesus also said that when we celebrate the Lord's table, we do proclaim His death until He comes. That is, we are trumpet sounding. We are sounding the trumpet as we celebrate the Lord's table, telling the world that He came the first time, and now He's coming the second time for all of the redeemed from all of the ages. It's a wonderful truth, and I think all of us need to meditate on these things and perhaps go through those scriptures and be reminded of the heavenly truth of the trumpets of God. We don't see the truth of that except in the Word of God. And in Hebrews it says that the things on earth, all of the temple things, were shadows of things to come. Things in heaven are illustrated in these. As we approach the Lord's table today, this table illustrates things that are happening in heaven. And we celebrate with those who sit at the table of the Lord, who've already gone home to be with the Lord. They too are sitting at a table with Him in fellowship. And one day, we will all sit at a great banquet table of the Lord and look around that table and see the people of every tribe and nation and language that were ever saved throughout all the history of the world. And we will celebrate with them as we do this morning. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, as we've covered a multitude of trumpet sounds, that most important trumpet is yet to come, that final trumpet, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time will be no more. We will gather around the throne of God and we will celebrate at the table of the Lord. Father, now as we come to the table of the Lord, the Lord's Supper, we are reminded of that we are proclaiming the Lord's death until He comes again. So help us to do that, Lord, as we walk in the footsteps of the Israelites who obeyed You, and they heeded the sound of the trumpet. They got themselves ready. They had the blood that covered their sins. And then when You came, when You come again, they will be ready, and we will be ready. So, Father, I pray now as we celebrate the Lord's table, that You would allow each one that's here to be reminded as to whether they are covered by the blood, and be reminded that they need that covering. And without the covering of blood, there is no remission of sins. I pray that we will be covered and we will be prepared for the coming of the Lord. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The closing, the song that we're going to use as a transition to the Lord's table is number 227, At the Cross, At the Cross. And as we sing this, our elders will come and we'll prepare the table for the Lord's Supper. Let's stand together as we sing. Stand. At the cross, at the cross, did my sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Verse 2. may be seated. I'm going to blow the trumpet in Zion, as it says in the book of Joel and Zephaniah, that we are to blow the trumpet in Zion because the Lord is coming. So plug your ears. The trumpet sounds, and Jesus invites everyone to come. Anyone who is thirsty may come. He that has no money can come without money, without price. Why? Because He has shed His precious blood. He has paid it all for us. And so the announcement of the trumpet is that everyone may come. No matter what your sin, no matter what your past, no matter how evil you've been or how good you've been, you need to come. Come to the Lord. Come to His table. Come and receive Jesus Christ and His forgiveness. And He will forgive. He will cover that sin. He will wash it away. He will cast it into the depths of the sea. He'll remove it as far as the east is from the west. That is the promise for the children of God. God invites you today, as He does around the world, to come to the table of the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, I have delivered unto you that which the Lord has given to me, that the night in which Jesus was betrayed, He took bread. And when He took the bread, He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. It represents the body of the Lord that's broken. And as we partake from that, we are reminded that He suffered for us. He didn't just die quickly. He suffered and He died. He paid the price that we owed. We deserved to die for our sins, but He paid it all. And so we take that body and we ask Him to live in us as we partake that together. And after the same manner, He took the cup. And when the supper was done, He took the cup and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. I want all of you to drink of it. Jesus wanted all of His disciples to drink of that cup because it's only through the precious blood of Jesus that we are cleansed from our sin. And it's so important that we know that our sins are forgiven and covered in the blood of the Lamb. You're not saved by drinking this cup. You drink first of all by faith, asking Jesus Christ to come into your life, to forgive your sins and be your Savior. And when you invite Him to come in, that actually happens. He comes in, takes up residence in you. That's when you get born again. That's when you get redeemed. That's when you are saved. And now we come to the table to remind us that we are saved through the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to serve, first of all, the bread. And as that's being distributed by our elders, I want you to be reminded that the Apostle Paul also added to this, and he said, but let a man examine himself. Examine yourself first, and then eat of that bread and drink of that cup. See if there's any sins that need to be confessed, and then lay it at the Lord's feet. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we need to confess as we examine our hearts together. Would you bow with me as I pray over these elements? Heavenly Father, we are none of us worthy. I am not worthy to stand here. I'm not worthy to partake except through the precious blood of Jesus that redeemed me from the hand of the enemy, who changed me in a moment's time from being the sinner lost and bound for hell to a child of God whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I invite, Lord, today all of those who are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, all of those who have professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to the table and to celebrate the great forgiveness, to celebrate that great salvation, and anticipate the great coming of the Lord, which shouldn't be too long in coming. Father, we pray Your blessing on these elements in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll serve first of all the bread. After everyone has been served, we'll offer a prayer, and then we'll partake together. Elders, will you come?